Hello, it's Misty Andriski, and I'm going to be doing day number 7 of my MXTX-tober prompts. And today's prompt is eyes. And I thought, you know what I haven't been doing? I haven't been doing any scum villain fix yet. So today is my first scum villain. And I have chosen, while the sun has yet to rise, in brackets, rest your weary eyes. And the eyes is kind of entirely based off of the title, and then I really like the summary and the everything. So I've kind of shoved it into my prompt. I've like shoved this fic because I want to read it. Anyway, yeah, and also it is Shenzhou slash Shenyuan, which I'm like super excited because honestly, this what do you call it? This month's challenge is basically just a way for me to do all my like rare pairs and kind of offbeat things that I probably not necessarily wouldn't normally do, but like I didn't even get on the Shenzhou Shenyuan like wagon until I like there are some scum villain artists on Twitter and they like draw amazing art and I was like wait my horizons have been broadened. But anyway, did I even say who this was by? This is by Airplane Landing. I'm so sorry. I should have said that earlier. Yes, it's by Airplane Landing, and they wonderfully gave me permission to podfic this. So I'm super excited. But yeah. Summary. At this time of night, there are only a few especially committed customers gracing the main lower floor of the warm red pavilion. He has little worry to give to his identity being revealed. A few girls tend to the customers on the floor, smiling sweetly as they listen to their stories and sit only a little closer than propriety would typically allow. On a small stage across the room, a young woman plays the pipa with precise, careful fingers, with her delicately painted eyes downcast towards the instrument and her lips parted in concentration. He has never seen her here before. And for a moment, Shenjiao's fingers twitch, itching for a brush he doesn't have. The image she paints so picturesque, he finds himself longing to immortalize it. Surely, though, if he did, she would only laugh a soft, sweet laugh, and tell him how he flatters her, all while pushing the painting back into his arms. Or, Shenjiao meets a young one. A young man at the warm red pavilion, and maybe, just maybe, it changes the course of his life. The night Shenjiao meets him, it's while he's still a disciple. Head disciple, that is, but a disciple of not even 19 years old, nonetheless. Shuiya is still fairly new to his hands. And the title declaring him second only to the Lord of Qingjing on their peak, newer yet. Still, with a sword in his title, he is granted many more freedoms alongside his many more responsibilities. So, only a few short days after the official announcement of his status to the peak and his formal introduction to his martial uncles and aunts, he makes his way down the mountain when the moon is still low in the sky. But Sang Jong is fast asleep. It is not, in fact, Shenzhou's first time sneaking down the mountain. Not by a long shot. Not even close to it. It is, however, his first time doing so with the reasonable excuse of his head discipleship granting him free access to come and go to the village at the base of the mountain as he pleases, of course. But even that reasonable excuse, even that permission, does not extend as far as covering where he is going. So, Despite his newly granted freedoms, he still finds himself wary as he walks down the quiet, dimly lit streets. There are a few people out, mostly spoiled young masters making eyes at the prettiest ladies who pass with fluttering eyelashes, or older men with women young enough to be their eldest daughters in dark corners, whispering and giggling and making other noises Shenzhou would rather not think too long on. Head ducked and veil covering the lower half of his face, Shenzhou tugs the dark cloak tied over his shoulders tighter yet around him. The hood of the cloak cast shadows over what the opaque veil could not disguise. He cares little for how suspicious he looks, darting and ducking between the few people who don't spot him making his way past them, one-track mind set on getting safely to his destination. He walks for what feels like ages, before stopping in front of a set of familiar doors. Finally, all at once, his shoulders sink in relief, and he lets one hand drop from where he's gripping his cloak closed tightly, to push the doors open. The moment he slips inside, Shenzhou is swathed in soft, gentle lights that warm him down to the bone and set him at ease within seconds. The doors shut behind him with a quiet click, and Shenzhou lowers his hood. At this time of night, there are only a few especially committed customers gracing the main lower floor of the warm red pavilion. He has little worry to give to his identity being revealed. A few girls tend to the customers on the floor, smiling sweetly as they listen to their stories and sit only a little closer than propriety would typically allow. On a small stage, across the room, a young woman plays the pipa with precise, careful fingers, with her delicately painted eyes downcast towards the instrument and her lips parted in concentration. He has never seen her here before, and for a moment, Shenzhou's fingers twitch, itching for a brush he doesn't have. The image she paints so picturesque, he finds himself longing to immortalize it. Surely, though, if he did, she would only laugh a soft, sweet laugh and tell him how he flatters her, all while pushing the painting back into his arms. Oh! A gasp draws Shenzhou's attention away from the new pipa player. He looks over to the source, blinking, and allows his expression to soften when he sees who is standing just a few short steps from him. Now, when did you... Madam Lee, he greets when she trails off with the slightest tilt of his head. The brothel madam clicks her tongue at such a curt greeting and hurries to cross the few remaining paces between them. Shenzhou thinks nothing of the way she grabs his shoulders and checks him over, stern eyes narrowed in a critical stare as she turns him this way and that. The handful of patrons still in the brothel at this hour are too enthralled by their company to notice the doting going on by the front doors. Still, she keeps her appraisal short and releases him with a content hum after only a moment. "It's been long enough since you've come to see us," she scolds him, but her voice is only mildly chiding. Chiding? Chiding? It's chiding. It's chiding. Where was I? Before Shenzhou can even think to get a word in, Madame Li's eyes soften and her voice quiets to that special warm tone she always uses when she can tell he's tired. "Head along to your room. I'll tell the girls of your arrival." Shenzhou, shoulders sagging from the exhaustion weighing on his bones, simply nods and hesitates for not even a single moment before walking past the kind madam and through the brothel to his usual room. It's a bit of a walk, but he makes it quickly. Located in the back, past any of the rooms used for their actual intended purpose, the room is just far enough to be safe from the mortifying sounds that may emanate from any one of them. The comfort that comes from knowing he is the only one who ever gets to use it, it's like a heavy blanket on a freezing night. Once he's in the room, and not a second sooner, Shinjo unties the cloak around his shoulders and lets it drop onto the floor. Untying the Chenkun pouch from his waist, he picks up the cloak and, after folding it, tucks it away inside the pouch. The veil obscuring his face follows quickly after. Then, he sets the pouch aside on a small table near the bed in the middle of the room and lets himself drop down onto the mattress. His hair, tied back in a simple braid for his excursion, lies uncomfortably under his back, but Shinjo does not move. He instead ignores it, opting to let his eyes close and his lungs fill with a deep breath as he relaxes into the mattress that's much softer than his own back on the mountain. Even without incense lit or the girls there yet, the room still smells of perfume and flowers. The creak of the door opening rings out, and Shinjo cracks open an eye, thinking it's one of the usual girls who come to help him rest. It's not. There's a small, startled noise, then, "Ah, sorry, this isn't my room." Shinjo tenses. The voice is soft, quiet, but it is without a doubt a man's voice. His heart stutters in his chest, and before he knows it, he's sitting upright, with a sharp glare already on his face. That glare, however, falters when he actually sees the owner of the voice standing in the doorway of his private, special room. In the doorway, frozen halfway inside the room, the pipa player from the lower floor of the brothel stands, clutching his pipa to his chest. Shinjo can't move. However, the instinctual fear that spiked in his blood at the sound of a man's voice in his safest place has faded ever so slightly to allow confusion to mix in with it. He stares, heart still rabbiting against his ribs, without speaking. For a moment, the entire scene is frozen. Then, the pipa player shifts, takes an aborted half step back, so he has one foot out of the room and one foot in, and the world rushes back into motion. Shinjo pushes himself to his feet and straightens his robes in a hurry, something bitter and ugly curdling in his stomach at the thought that he's been caught in such a vulnerable, weak state. Even his sword has been discarded, propped at the table a few paces away, stuck between the two, locked in a stare down and just out of his reach. If he moves towards it, the pipa player could do the same, and it would just be a fight of who got there first. Shinjo doesn't stop to think he could form a sword seal. His thoughts are too scattered and harried as he refuses to look away first. "Who are you?" he bites out through clenched teeth, fists balled right at his side. He tries so hard not to let it show how unsettled he is, how uneased he is, how scared he is to have his space invaded by a man parading around as a brothel worker. Do the Jijias know? Are they aware of what they've let into their home? The thought that they don't makes something hot and uncomfortable coil and curl in his chest. The pipa player, the man, hesitates. Shinjo watches with hypervigilance as his painted eyes flit to the sword propped at the table, then the Chenkun pouch atop it, then the bed, then finally to Shinjo himself. A sort of understanding settles over his expression, which freezes in an instant before his body lowers in a shallow bow. "This lowly one begs forgiveness," he says, "but the words seem forced, fake. This one had no intention to interrupt such an esteemed and high customer while he is awaiting service." The words sound wrong, off. On the surface, there's nothing actually wrong with it, but still, the phrasing makes Xianzhou's skin crawl. It takes him a second longer than it should to realize why, to realize just what this man thinks is going on. When he does realize, however, the world tilts on its axis and he feels sick. Xianzhou snaps his mouth shut before he can say something he'll regret, teeth clenched hard enough to make his jaw ache. He can't believe this. This stranger would think he could never. The musician straightens up and looks at Xianzhou with a furrowed brow. Then, something seems to click in his mind and his lips part in a small, oh, before his entire demeanour sags, relaxing in a painfully familiar way. "You," he pauses, chewing his bottom lip, which Xianzhou notices now is painted a gentle red, before continuing with slight hesitation, "you must be Jue?" For the first time since he started coming to the warm red pavilion, Xianzhou tenses at the affectionate, familiar name the girls had taken quickly to calling him. Shoulders drawn tight, he gives a short, jerking nod. Even though the musician has relaxed, he would sooner walk headfirst into his own grave than willingly relax with this man in his room. Oh my gosh, I managed to stop the recording before I sneezed. Ah! Recognition lights the man's face so quickly it nearly startles Xianzhou out of his wariness. Almost. The ramble that follows the exclamation, however, does startle him out of it. "I'm sorry, I really did mean to go to the next room over. I'm a bit tired, you see, and went right to the wrong door." The man laughs, a soft, twinkling, bell-like noise that has Xianzhou blinking slowly. The sound fades all too quickly, though, and the musician's face takes on a more solemn, apologetic expression. "I had no idea I'd walk into... Well, I really... Yan Jie warned me to stay clear of this room, but of course, I just wandered right in, and now... Ah, Madame Li is really going to let me have it, isn't she? Oh..." Xianzhou just stares, speechless, as the man goes on and on, brain nearly flatlining. When he exclaims so suddenly, though, his shoulders jump and he winces. Then, internally, he cringes. He must be more tired than he thought if he's reacting visibly now. Luckily, the strange man doesn't seem to notice, too consumed by his ramble. "How rude of me," he laughs, a bit awkward. Xianzhou watches as he adjusts the peeper in his arms before he tilts his head to the side and grins, and, oh, Xianzhou swallows hard. Can a man really be this pretty? "I'm Shen Yuan, but you can call me Ayuan. That's what they call me here anyway." Again, Xianzhou blinks, coming out of his daze and furrowing his brows. Did Shen Yuan just freely give him his real name? Despite everything in him that screams against it, Xianzhou can't help but feel a twinge of concern. How easily was he giving his name out to patrons? Doesn't he know that's dangerous? And he called Yan Jie. He's a real worker here. A real worker. A man. But a real worker here, and he's giving his real name out so freely. "Fool," Xianzhou spits out before he can stop himself, voice sharp and full of venom. Shen Yuan blinks, confused, and frowns. "You shouldn't... Why would you tell someone? Did Did the girls teach you nothing here? For a second, Shen Yuan appears confused. Then understanding dawns and his grin dims to something softer. A gentler, fainter smile. Don't worry. I don't tell the normal patrons my name. Madame Li and Yan Jie dressed you, though, so I figured it wouldn't hurt. Plus, I caught you in a vulnerable moment. You know my full name. Now we're even, right? Xian Jiao wants to tell him no. Wants to tell him that telling a stranger his real name as a brothel worker goes beyond what would make them even, especially telling a cultivator at a brothel. He can't get his tongue to work, though. Can't get his lips to form the words. Instead, he just turns his eyes away and frowns at the shitty logic. Right. Anyway, sorry, really. Shen Yuan apologizes again. I'll just... He takes a step back, starting to leave, and for reasons Shen Jiao will never be able to name, he takes a following step forward and calls out, Wait! Both of them freeze. Shen Jiao swallows, eyes flitting all over the room before finally settling on Shen Yuan to take him in. To really take him in. He's a man, but he calls Yan Jie Yan Jie, and he lets the girls paint his face in pretty colours. He's a man, but his face is all soft and round features. His eyes are the only sharp feature on his face, but even they are soft and wide, remarkably similar to Shen Jiao's own, if only he hadn't been disillusioned of the world at such a young age. His hair is up in pretty pins and jingling. Oh, his hair is up in pretty pins and jingling ornate decorations, and the robes he wears are the same as the other girls' robes. Pretty and flowing and draped in sheer top layers over opaque inner layers. His are more modest, of course, the collar coming up to his throat and not showing nearly as much skin. It really was not so surprising Shen Jiao had mistaken him for one of the girls, especially at a distance. That is not to say he is all feminine, but he is certainly ambiguous enough from a distance. And he's here, a real worker here. Shen Jiao lets his eyes flit up to Shen Yuan's confused face. He's a man, but he works at the brothel. And something in Shen Jiao is uncoiling. Something is loosening. The tightness in his chest is fading, and the tension in his shoulders is easing. Men, they're all the same. But this one has the eyes of a person who knows, who understands. Even when he realized who Shen Jiao was, he did not press forward. He apologized. He started to take his leave. He's a man. As Shen Jiao looks at him now, though, it is not a man he sees, but a kindred soul. The worker of a brothel, who's been taken in and doted on by the girls he calls his sisters, his family. And if his family can feel so safe bringing him into their arms, would you... He swallows again, tongue heavy in his mouth, unable to believe what he's daring to do. Would you care to stay? Shen Yuan blinks, visibly startled. He cuts himself off, closing his mouth with a frown. Then, after a moment of careful thought, he nods. If that's what you want... Shen Jiao gives a short nod before he can change his mind. Remember what Shen Yuan is. Shen Yuan stares at him for a moment longer, like he's some sort of puzzle he can't solve, before finally he steps fully into the room and closes the door behind him. Shen Jiao, at this, turns and makes his way back to the bed. He ignores Shen Yuan making himself comfortable on a cushion on the floor across the room, and sits cross-legged atop the middle of the bed. It's silent for a few minutes, and despite the way it makes Shenzhou's skin crawl, he can't figure out what to say. He's still not sure why he invited this man to stay in his space. But, he's not just a man. He's... Shenzhou pushes away the complicated line of thought and shakes his head, instead fixing Shen Yuan with an appraising eye. "How old are you?" he asks. Mindless small talk normally makes him want to rip his ears off and shove them down his throat, but now it's the only thing keeping him from booking it out of the room. Shen Yuan hums, setting his pipa on his lap, and thinks for a moment. "I suppose, he trails off, considering. "I've just recently turned 18? He sounds almost unsure, and Shenzhou almost wants to bite back with a sharp retort about how someone could not even know their own age. Then he remembers where he is, and where Shen Yuan is, and he swallows down the retort. Caught in his own inner turmoil, he just barely hears the soft mutter of, "in this life at least," that was definitely not meant for his ears. Shenzhou narrows his eyes at the strange phrasing, but says nothing of it. A normal mortal would not have been able to hear such a thing, and Shen Yuan's face became so distant and desolate as he murmured it. "Didi, then," Shenzhou proclaims, swiftly shifting the subject. "Yuandi. Yuandi." Shen Yuan's eyes snap up to him, wide and surprised. "Yuandi? I'm nearly to my 19th year," Shenzhou huffs, straightening his shoulders and lifting his chin to stare down his nose at Shen Yuan. "So, Yuandi." To his surprise, Shen Yuan blinks a few times, then laughs. That same twinkling, bright laugh from before, but somehow brighter. This time it pulls his lips up at the corners as it fills the quiet of the room and wrinkles the corners of his dark eyes. It comes out breathless and ringing, and as he ducks his head to cover his mouth with one hand, the ornaments on the pins in his hair jingle and clink. Shenzhou's breath catches, and he's reminded of the longing he had before. He's reminded of his fingers itching for a brush to paint the scene before him. Reminded of the desire to capture the girl playing the pipa on the lower floor in a picture to be preserved for eternity. It hits him like a carriage at full speed. The picture of this Shen Yuan covering his mouth with both hands now, as he tries to calm himself, burns into the front of his mind, and he yearns for the brushes and paints tucked carefully away beneath his unused bed on Qingjing Peak. He doesn't even know what's so funny, but a strange thought worms its way into his brain regardless. He'd say whatever it was a million times over if it made Shen Yuan laugh like this again. And when Shen Yuan finally stops laughing, when he finally composes himself, it feels like a loss. "Well then," Shen Yuan says at last, eyes sparkling with something almost like mischief, and Shenzhou can only stare. In his chest, his heart gives a concerning flutter, which he steadfastly ignores. Shen Yuan lifts his pipa into a playing position and straightens with a grin so bright it nearly blinds him. "Should this Didi play Jiuge a song?" "A beat." "Processing." Shenzhou's face flared to life with a hot flush, his eyes wide and brain stuttering to a halt. Shenzhou waits in calm silence, head tilted to the side in a way that makes those pins jingle once more. Shenzhou splutters for a second, more flustered than he reasonably should be. Finally, he managed to spit out a short, "Well, go on then." Shen Yuan visibly stifles another laugh, and Shenjiu swallows down the traitorous feeling of disappointment before he clears his throat and starts plucking the strings of the pipa propped in his lap. Soft, melodious music fills the air of the quiet room, and Shenjiu feels the last thread of tension in his spine slip away. He watches, slouched atop the bed, as Shen Yuan plays with careful precision. When a soft humming reaches his ears, Shenjiu holds his breath. It doesn't match the melody of the pipa, but sings a lower harmony, mixing and blending with the instrument with a smoothness only someone trained for years could accomplish. All at once, Shenjiu finds himself burning with curiosity of what brought Shen Yuan to the pavilion. He speaks with the cadence of a noble, but the informality of a street kid. He plays the pipa like a student of a great master, but works in a brothel where his skill could not be truly appreciated. He has the eyes of a child, wide and youthful and hopeful, but the stare of a soul on his 100th life, tired and aging and waiting for the inevitable end. Shen Yuan is, to Shenjiu's critical eye, an enigma. He is a riddle. And despite everything he's ever known, he longs to solve it. The song is over too soon, and Shenjiu blinks his eyes open, not remembering when he even closed them. Shen Yuan opens his at the same time and clears his throat, a certain shyness colouring his peaceful countenance. "I don't believe I've heard that melody yet," Shenjiu says once the final note fades. "Is it of your own composure?" Shen Yuan is certainly skilled in the arts. Always keeping Shenjiu on his toes, Shen Yuan flushes at the praise and ducks his head. He lets out a quiet, nervous chuckle and shrugs. It's a fairly popular song in my hometown, he says, a strained note to his voice. It's clearly a rough topic from the way Shen Yuan struggles to get the words out for a second. Shen Yuan grimaces internally. Of course he'd go and pick at a scab, tearing a healing wound back open. Isn't that what he always does? What a fool he is. Things were going much too smoothly. He should have seen this coming. It's only natural he messes things up. He swallows down the bitter taste in his throat and averts his eyes, instead staring down at the fists in his lap, balling his robes up in their grip and wrinkling the pristine fabric. "Ah, but enough of that," Shen Yuan abruptly proclaims. "Should I play you another? It's been so long since I've had such an attentive audience." Shenjiu knows the last part is meant to be a tease, a joke, but it comes out too sincere for him to laugh. For a moment, his heart aches for the man across the room from him. And how strange that is, his heart aching for a man. The world must really be coming to an end. Perhaps Qige will actually explain himself when he gets back to Xiangjiang too. Scoffing at the thought, Shenjiu puts his attention back on Shen Yuan. "I would be amenable to that," he agrees. When Shenjiu wakes, his first thought is one of confusion. He finds himself covered carefully in warm, heavy blankets, with his head against soft piles of pillows, with no recollection of falling asleep or tucking himself in. Sitting up and stretching his arms and shoulders, Shenjiu looks around the room for some sort of hint as to what happened the night before. In the corner of the room, still seated atop the very same cushion he first settled himself on, Shen Yuan sleeps, propped upright, with his pipa laid carefully beside him. For a second, Shenjiu panics. His heart rate spikes, and his breath locks itself in his lungs. Then, slowly, He relaxes as the memories of the evening before come trickling back. Memories of Shen Yuan playing the pipa blend into memories of Shen Yuan setting it aside, blend into memories of Shen Yuan telling him stories of his hometown, blend into memories of Shen Yuan discussing literature with him. Unbeknownst to himself, the hint of a smile pulls at Shen Zhou's lips as he recalls the passion with which Shen Yuan tore apart the trashy romance novels Yan Jie and Huo Jie convinced him to read. It must have been around then he fell asleep, and... ah, had Shen Yuan tucked him in? Truly? Really? And only that? But after a quick inspection, Shen Zhou found not a single thing wrong with his robes. He looks back to Shen Yuan, only to start, when instead of his sweetly sleeping face, he's met with dark eyes staring right back at him. Okay, sorry, I just took a, like an 8-hour break. but I'm back. Anyway, good morning, Shen Yuan greets. His tone, despite the sleepiness still seeping into it, is playful already, and Shen Zhou feels a small tinge of fond, cross out, exasperation. Did Zhou Ge sleep well? Shen Zhou cuts himself off abruptly. Did he sleep well? He blinks. He can't remember the last time he's been able to sleep with another man in the room, and yet... yes. Yes, I believe I did. Ming Jie came to check on you, but you were still sleeping, Shen Yuan tells him. She left breakfast on the table. I haven't touched it, don't worry. It might not be warm anymore, though. Ah. So, had he really not been sleeping? Had he just been resting, waiting for Shen Jie to wake? How early had he woken? Don't worry, Shen Yuan said, as if he can read his mind. I haven't been up long. I fell back asleep after Ming Jie left. I only woke up again because I felt eyes on me, but Zhou Ge wouldn't possibly be watching his Yuan Di sleep, would he? Shen Yuan narrows his eyes, but the poorly hidden smile on his lips counteracts the accusing look. A light warmth rushes to Shen Zhou's face, and he looks away. Of course not, he snaps, a bit harsher than necessary. Shen Yuan only chuckles at his defensiveness. Brat. Throwing off the blankets, Shen Zhou pushes himself off the bed and walks to the table where the food sits waiting. Across the room, he can hear Shen Yuan getting to his feet as well, but pays little mind in favour of checking out what Ming Jie brought. Well, I suppose I'll go then, Shen Yuan tells him. Shen Zhou looks up from the tray with a frown to see Shen Yuan standing by the door. He hesitates for a moment. Then, just as Shen Yuan moves to open it, he stops him. You can't possibly think I could eat this all myself, could you? He scoffs, crossing his arms over his chest. Shen Yuan frowns for a moment, and Shen Zhou averts his eyes before he can see the recognition flash in his face, in his gaze. A soft snort rings out in the air before footsteps approach. Of course not. How could I? Shen Zhou huffs and drops himself into one of the table chairs. He motions roughly at the opposing one to him. Well, sit. He chooses to ignore the amusement in Shen Yuan's eyes as he sits. Little brat. Ugh. He's not that bad, though, is he? For a man, at least. Shen Zhou carefully dishes out two plates, one for each of them. He pretends not to notice the way he gives Shen Yuan more. He also pretends not to notice the way Shen Yuan shifts a few of the best pieces right back over to his dish. Impudent, he mutters under his breath. Filial, Shen Yuan chirps right back. It takes everything in him not to roll his eyes. In the end, Shen Yuan must get back to work, and Shen Zhou does have to leave eventually. He's already stayed later than he should have. He takes a few coins on the table after himself. Oh, he leaves a few coins on the table after himself, because he knows Madame Li would never accept it otherwise. Then he makes his rounds, giving quiet goodbyes to both the girls and Madame. It's only after he's said goodbye to everyone that he finally drags his feet and makes his way back to Xiangchong Mountain, prepared as he can be for the storm waiting to greet him, given how late he slept in. Reader's note. I know I haven't been really speaking much, but this is so cute. I love their meeting, and I love that. Shen Yuan, he's just not like other guys, okay? He's different. He's the only one, okay? The thing is, days after returning to Xiangchong Mountain and dealing with the shitstorm that followed, Shen Zhou still can't get his mind off Shen Yuan from the brothel. It's the worst when he's guiding the younger disciples through their music classes, his mind flitting back to the unfamiliar but beautiful melodies Shen Yuan had played for him of his own accord. Even outside of that class, though, for reasons he can't put his finger on, Shen Yuan seems to always find a way to creep into his thoughts. Days haunted by the thought of him turn into weeks, and by the end of the third, Shen Zhou can take it no longer, and finds himself making his way down the mountain under the cover of the night once more. It's fine, he tells himself as he weaves through the streets and dodges handsy pedestrians. He's tired anyway. He's not slept well since his last visit at all, and he needs the rest. It's not like he's just going to see Shen Yuan. That would be preposterous and wildly unlike him. He just wants to rest. And, of course, see the rest of the girls. He never did get to really visit them last time he was there, spending the whole evening with Shen Yuan. The thought lights Shen Zhou's face with a soft flush as he slips through the brothel doors and into the building. Just like before, he drops his hood and takes a deep breath. Madame Li spots him quickly, but Shen Zhou's attention is elsewhere as she disappears deeper into the brothel. On that same stage, Shen Yuan sits once more. He wears a different set of robes this time, a shade of green so faint it could nearly be mistaken as white, as opposed to the warm-toned hues of orange and pink he wore the night they met. For a moment, the briefest one, Shen Zhou wonders how he would look in the teal disciple robes of Qingjing. Then he realizes how strange his own thoughts are being, and he swiftly tucks them away into a tight little box to never examine again. Shen Yuan looks up from where he's watching his fingers pluck the strings of his pipa, and his gaze meets Shen Zhou's. Before he even knows what he's doing, Shen Zhou gives a short, affirmative nod, and receives the faintest smile in answer. Then, a hand settles on his shoulder, and the moment breaks. Shen Yuan turns his attention back to playing, and Shen Zhou turns his own to the woman standing at his side, with a warm, knowing smile of her own. Jia is back so soon, she greets with only a hint of teasing. Go on back now. The girls are waiting for you. Shen Zhou blinks, looking at her with a frown. How? I've already told them of your arrival, Madame Li swiftly interrupts, correctly guessing his question before he could finish it. Oh. A faint warmth spreads in Shen Zhou's chest at the consideration. Ah, Madame Li is so... Shen Zhou doesn't dare call her motherly. Still, if he had ever experienced the warmth and love and care of a mother somewhere, deep in the back of all the hidden thoughts he'd never let anyone else hear, he's sure this is what it would feel like. Yes. A voice drowning in silent yearning whispers in the back of his mind. Yes, it tells him, desperate. Madame Lee may not be his mother, but she is the closest thing he has to one. Throat suddenly tight, Shenzhou gives his quiet thanks and makes his way through the brothel back to his private room. He takes the walk as a chance to compose himself, steadying his breath and flexing his fingers. By the time he gets to the door of his suite, he's as relaxed as he can be on his own. The sound of soft chatter and laughter from the inside helps ease the remaining tension in his shoulders, and he slides open the door without a moment's more hesitation. Joa! The chorus of voices calling him in, greeting him with such joy, is almost suffocating as Shenzhou steps into the room, sliding the door behind himself. He ducks his head to hide the way his face instantly relaxes and works on getting settled before anything else. Incense burns on the table a few paces from the bed, where Shenzhou props his sword and drapes his cloak and outermost layer of robes. It's a pleasant, floral and earthy scent. Orchid, if his nose is right, with lighter undertones of sandalwood. The girls watch him with bright grins as they huddle together by the bed, two on the soft mattress and three on the cushions on the floor, with a final and sixth girl huddled in the middle of their almost circle that he can't quite see from where he stands at the table. Once he's folded his cloak and outermost robes, still wearing a few inner layers and has pulled off his shoes, Shenzhou crosses the room. Mayan, one of the two on the bed, with soft brown peach blossom eyes, smiles at him and beckons him to the empty space to her right. Shenzhou carefully settles himself down at her side on the edge of the bed. Here, he has a closer view of the girl in the middle, but with her back to him as Huo Jie and Ming Jie touch up her makeup, he still can't tell exactly who she is. Yan Jie turns to full face Shenzhou and gives her full attention to him, looking him over with pursed red lips. Shenzhou lets her do as she pleases, not fighting against the hand gripping his chin with a gentleness he can only experience here. Her hands, thin and pale, smooth over his hair, moving to the back of his head and pulling out the pins keeping up the top half. She passes them to Gu Xuan on her left, who passes them to Lu Ji on the floor, who's in charge of passing the right makeup to Huo Jie and Ming Jie. Jua takes such good care of his hair, Mian sighs, running her fingers through any knots and kinks from being up all day. She drops her hands after a moment and shifts back, more towards the centre of the bed, until there is a reasonably sized space in front of her at the edge. She pats it. Come here, let this Jie Jie braid it for you. Shenzhou gives a short nod and shifts around until he's sitting with his legs hanging off the edge, right in front of where Mayan kneels. From this position, he can see better the person in the middle, who he notes now is wearing familiar robes of such a light green they almost appear white, and Shenzhou blinks as thin fingers card through his hair, sectioning it. His eyes lift to the side of the person's face, and he inhales. How had he not realized sooner? Shen Yuan sits with his eyes closed as Ming Jie dusts his eyelids with a pink powder, his lips parted and just barely tinted red. Shenzhou swallows. He looks so soft like this. Gu Xuan must notice him staring, because she gives a soft hum and places a hand on his knee. Ah, we hope Jua doesn't mind, she says, her voice so sweet and sugary, just like it always is. Mingmei told us how cozy you two were your last visit, and he came right on up when he finished his last song. Ayua nearly beat us to the room, he was so quick. A small, startled, embarrassed noise comes from the man in question, and Shen Yuan opens his eyes to look at Gu Xuan. He stares at her, betrayed and shocked, the furrow of his perfectly maintained brows so dramatic, Shen Zhou nearly laughs. Nearly. Jie Jie, he exclaims, before turning to Shen Zhou. Ming Jie and Huo Jie frown a little at their art subject pulling away from them, but make no move to stop him as he fixes Shen Zhou with the most exasperatedly apologetic look he can. I just wanted to make it up before someone roped me into playing another song, and I ended up barging in and interrupting. It's fine, Shen Zhou croaks out, ignoring the dryness of his throat when faced with Shen Yuan's full attention. His chest grows tight and aches. Is he growing ill? Should he swing by Chan Cao, when he gets back to the sect? Or have Yan Jie call a physician? Shen Yuan's expression shifts, growing calmer and more relaxed as he smiles at Shen Zhou. Buried deep in his chest, that tightness from before uncurls, unfoils, and spreads out warm and reaching across his body, from his head to his feet. It leaves his skin tingling with electricity, from the tips of his fingers to the lids of his eyes, to the tips of his toes, and steals his breath with a single, swift swipe. It's a strange feeling, an unfamiliar and new feeling, and for a moment it's uncomfortable, burning and all-consuming, before it fades into the background, blurring at the edges and blanketing the world with a sweet, fuzzy haze. So, Shen Zhou takes the feeling and relishes in it. He still doesn't know what it is, but as he slumps down, letting his head bang while Mei Yan braids his hair with diligence and tender care, he lets himself simply feel it. After that, the rest of the evening blends together. In his memory, it becomes a montage of quiet murmurs and loud laughs, and stories of Shen Zhou's latest missions, and questions about beasts from an eager-eyed Shen Yuan, and ranting about sect siblings, and venting about poorly behaved patrons. At some point, in the middle of it all, Mei Yan migrates to sit cross-legged at the head of the bed, and Shen Zhou curls at her side with his head in her lap as the rest of the girls and Shen Yuan surround them, a mix of half on the bed and on the floor around it. He's not sure when he falls asleep, though he's certain it's after Yan Jie begins stroking his hair, and Shen Yuan breaks out his pipa after some playful cajoling from Huo Jie and Lu Ji. Shen Yuan quickly becomes a regular face in Shen Zhou's private room, and with each visit, Shen Zhou finds himself opening up more and more to him. Somewhere, in the back of his mind, he still can't believe he's grown so comfortable around a man, but as he sits across from Shen Yuan at the head of his bed, his sixth visit since he found Shen Yuan being dolled up by Huo Jie and Ming Jie that one evening, he can't imagine being anything else. No way! Shen Yuan scoffs, arms crossed over his chest as he stares at Shen Zhou. As if the writing isn't shoddy enough already, the author went and just ruined any chance at a decent plot with that shitty excuse of a twist. If Shen Zhou had learned anything about Shen Yuan in their time together, it's that he's very passionate about his literature and the quality of it, yet at the same time seeks out the trashiest novels ever to exist. Truly, at one point, Shen Zhou had wondered if he was all right. To purposefully expose himself to media that gives him such distress, but Shen Zhou has since made the delightful discovery He just enjoys criticizing them. And really, being a scholar, can Shenjiu really be blamed for joining him in his colorful criticism? So, what does Wandi think the protagonist should have done then? Shenjiu asks. The question is an obvious attempt at baiting, and whether Shenyuan notices it or not, he lives up to Shenjiu's expectations by latching onto it almost immediately. "Not bed the Empress for one," Shenyuan exclaims, bordering on hysterics. The author spent the entirety of every previous edition going on and on about how deeply his hatred for her ran, and now he suddenly is in love with her? Shenjiu raises an amused eyebrow as he listened. Love is not his area of expertise. Oftentimes, he has little commentary to give on Shenyuan's novels, unsure what he could even say that wouldn't give away how out of his element he is, that wouldn't give away how little he understands. Shenyuan, on the other hand, it makes absolutely no sense. He's closer to whining now than ranting, tossing up his hands in exasperation. The relationship progression was clearly headed to assassination attempt territory. Instead, the author completely butchered any chance that a proper three-dimensional character with actual substance, all for some crappy porn. The vulgarity is unnecessary, truly. But Shenjiu can't help but concede that Shenyuan was making quite the convincing case for himself.
Reader's note, that's so funny. I'm still
a supportive husband, okay?
I'm still supporting you, even though I disagree.
Shenyuan seems quite convinced he could do better himself, he goads. To his surprise, instead of fire back a sharp retort or confident affirmation, Shenyuan falters. He blinks a few times, lips parted as he stares at Shenjiu, then ducks his head. His shoulders lift and fall in a small shrug, fists bunching the robes, teal this time, which something in Shenjiu preens at, in his lap. No, he cuts himself off with a short, sardonic laugh. Joga is kind, but I'm no author, really. Writing isn't... I read what other people write. I can't create such elaborate words myself, though. Kind. Shenjiu will never get used to the way he gives out such praise and sweet words so easily. Then... the rest of what Shenyuan said catches up with him, and his brow wrinkles with a frown. Maybe that's why I get so angry at these trash novels, Shenyuan continues before he has a chance to interrupt. They have the ability and conviction to create like this, and they waste it on what horny old men want to live out their fantasies with. If I could create like that, I'd... Shenjiu abruptly cuts him off, eyes narrow and voice sharp. Any person has the ability to create something great. It's only an echoing of the words his own Shidzun had told him when he first arrived at Qingjing, at an age people said to be too old to cultivate, and at a stage when he'd had little reason to believe a single word out of her mouth. Now, though, it feels like the greatest wisdom he could possibly pass on. Shenyuan's head snaps up, eyes wide, to gape at Shenjiu. All you have to do is take the opportunity when it's presented to you. Shenjiu finishes, his face a touch warmer, but his stare no less fierce. The silence that follows his words is stifling. Shenjiu refuses to back down, though. His pride keeps him holding his head high. He ignores the way his heart is rabbiting in his chest, ignores the whisper in the back of his mind that Shenyuan is going to laugh at him for falling for such pretty words. But he didn't just fall for them. At first, he swore he would never even believe them, And yet he is living proof of those words being truth. He is living proof that even a jaded, angry street rat can become something great. Isn't that proof enough? If he can become what he has, if he can rise from the ashes, reborn and rebranded and cut from his mud-covered roots, why can't the boy in the brothel who spends his nights burying himself in books write his own? Joker is really too kind, Shen Yuan whispers at long last. It's almost too soft to hear, and it makes Shen Zhou's chest ache in that way that's become so common with Shen Yuan around. In that way, he still can't quite pass for all the scholar that he is. But what chance would I get now? I gave up my chance when I had it. The ache turns sharp, a stabbing pang in his heart. Shen Jiao's hand jerks in an aborted attempt to reach for the young man in front of him. His hand hovers, hangs in the air with the heavy tension between them. Not for the first time, his voice is carrying a strange sort of distance, almost a nostalgia, like he was talking about something a lifetime ago, rather than merely before his time at the brothel. But perhaps for him his life before the brothel feels like another lifetime. He talks so little about his life before the pavilion, and Shen Zhou never presses. He understands all too well why a person would be reluctant to talk about a past so distant. Shen Zhou finds himself speaking before he can think better of it. Come back with me to Qingjing. Shen Yuan blinks. The moment the words are out there in the world, Shen Zhou wants to pull them back, shove them back down his throat, and lock them away where they can never be heard again. He cannot, however, do this. So, instead, he doubles down. Shoulders back and chin high, looking down his nose at Shen Yuan, he slips half subconsciously into the persona he wears atop the mountain. Of course, only if Yuan Di thinks he can keep up with the curriculum and strict teachings of the peak, he sniffs, haughty tone sneaking into his voice. This one could never have a Shidi who lacks in his work and lazes about all day. He pauses, giving Shen Yuan a chance to answer. When he doesn't, Shen Zhou falters. Swallowing, he turns his face away and changes tactics. The Library of Qingjing is perhaps the vastest libraries, one of the largest. The Library of Qingjing is perhaps one of the vastest libraries I have ever bore witness to, he says, offhandedly and casually, like he was speaking of the weather. He thinks for a moment, and then adds with a sigh. Many are mistakenly led to believe it only carries academic resources, but there is much more. As head disciple, I happen to have exclusive access to the forbidden section, as well, where confiscated materials are hidden away. Shen Zhou pauses to clear his throat. He hears the movement and rustling of fabric, and his brows furrow. When he looks back, though, to see what Shen Yuan is doing on the other side of the bed, he instead comes face to face with bright eyes and a sparkling grin. The air flees his lungs in a rush. Shen Yuan kneels so close their knees brush together. Then, suddenly, before he's even finished processing how close they are, there are arms around his shoulders and a face in his neck. He can feel the stretch of Shen Yuan's grin against his throat, can feel his warm breath tickling his skin. Distantly, he realizes he should probably be panicking and kicking Shen Yuan away. But his hatred, his fear of men, never seems to kick in around Shen Yuan anymore. Instead, something else fires off the alarms in his mind, as the last remaining thoughts in his head scramble into one big, jumbled soup of words. Shen Yuan, he manages to snap, but it comes out more like a yelp. He pulls back in an instant, almost like he's been burned, with his smile gone and replaced with a look of shock and horror.
I'm sorry. I know how you don't... I was just so...
Shen Yuan rambles, never finishing one sentence before already leaping into the next, frantic and scrambled. For a dizzying minute, Xian Jiao genuinely mourns the loss of warm arms around him, and it stuns him speechless. He can't remember the last time he... Other than the Jiejie's, Xian Yuan's apologies trail off, his expression slowly morphing into one of ashamed embarrassment as his eyes avoid looking directly at Xian Jiao. He stops, considering his words, considering the implications. Then, Xian Jiao takes a slow breath and reaches out. He hears the hitch in Xian Yuan's breath when their hands meet, watches his eyes widen and lips part as Xian Jiao tangles their fingers. It's fine. Ah, he finally thinks, as his heart pounds rapidly in his chest, staring at where their fingers are interlocked. This feeling, this one that's been just under the surface for all those weeks and months, something finally starts to click as the wheels turn in his head. Is that it? Is that what this is? He ignores the stunned look being shot at him in favour of considering the feeling of Shen Yuan's hand in his own. His fingers are calloused from plucking the strings of his pipa, but there are a few more familiar calluses as well. The calluses of a brush held carefully between delicate fingers. Their hands fit seamlessly together, fitting with near perfection, and a sense of pride thrums in Shen Jiao's chest beside the unwinding ache he finally begins to put a name to. He turns over Shen Yuan's hand in his own, staring at the lines of his palm. He presses his free hand to his own chest and clutches loosely at the robes over his heart. Is this what it feels like to love someone? Joker? Shen Jiao finally tears his eyes away from their hands. Throat dry, he looks up and meets Shen Yuan's questioning gaze. He's too new to this to know for certain. Sure, at one point he loved Yue Qi, and perhaps he still does. Perhaps he still can, but not like this. Never like this. This, now that he's feeling it, really feeling it, now that he's acknowledging it, it is all-consuming. It is terrifying in its own way, how suffocated Shen Jiao is by the warm, raw affection throbbing in his chest. He feels like it could swallow him whole if he wanted. And this affection is for, of all people, a man. Not just a man, though, no. No, it's for Shen Yuan. It's for Shen Yuan that he feels this consuming desire to possess, to love, to be loved, and suddenly, all at once, he sobers. For a moment, he can't breathe. He doesn't know how to love, not like this, not so purely, not so unconditionally. He's not good at it, and if Shen Yuan gives him his heart... For a moment, he's choked by fear of ruining the man in front of him. For a moment, his eyes and nose and throat are scorched and burning with the pungent scent of thick black smoke. For a moment, he can feel the thick layer of ash and caked blood on his hands, a phantom feeling from so long ago, he foolishly thought he'd finally forgotten it. But he will never forget the way the flames burned, licking cage-like walls and consuming them the same way his sudden need consumes him now. Will he burn Shen Yuan the same way those flames burned wooden beams? Will he grasp his heart in his hands, only to crumble it like the walls of that destitute manor. What if it's too much for Shen Yuan? He cannot be gentle. He knows this in his own heart. If he latches onto him now, he will never let go. If Shen Yuan lets him, he will sink his bloodied claws into his unmarred skin and never let him go. He can never let him go. Shen Zhou! The voice is so sharp, so different from the usual light-hearted or impassioned or gentle voice he's so used to hearing. Shen Zhou snaps to attention, harried and wide eyes, out of whatever daze he had slipped into. The panic licking at his ankles fades at the genuine concern, the genuine fear in Shen Yuan's dark eyes. He doesn't know how he looks, but he must make quite the scene to earn that look of such undeserved care. He swallows hard, fingertips trembling in his lap. Gentle hands hold his face, their touch, familiar and warm, grounds him in the moment. It's strange, he thinks as he relaxes into Shen Yuan's hands, his eyelids fluttering briefly, how one person can feel so much like home. It's stranger yet how long it took him to see it, though perhaps it's more to be expected. A broken man with a warped perception of relationships like him, a wry, bitter feeling twists inside him. He should be awarded for realizing so early. Thumbs brush over his cheekbones, and the feeling fades, his breath catching in his throat. Shen Yuan doesn't say a word, but the wrinkle in his brow says everything his mouth doesn't. Shen Zhou swallows once more. The smoke clears at long last, and, with a light-hearted sort of irony, he recalls the words he only so recently lectured Shen Yuan with. Any person has the ability to create something great. All they have to do is take the opportunity when it's presented. What is this, if not an opportunity presented on a silver platter directly to him? To create something great. To create something new. Something he never dared imagine allowing himself the pleasure of having. Shen Yuan, he says, voice shamefully hoarse. His tongue darts out to wet his lips, anxiety sparking over his skin, when Shen Yuan hums softly in question. His lips part, words heavy on the tip of his tongue, but reluctant to fall and break the dreamlike atmosphere around them. Slumping forward, Shen Yuan's hands still cradling his face, Shen Zhou lets his forehead rest upon Shen Yuan's with a light bump. He hears him inhale sharply. Shen Yuan's eyes are wide as they stare back into Shen Zhou's, and this close, he notices a few small, dark specks of mossy green hidden in deep, warm brown. He never would have noticed such a tiny detail had he never allowed himself this close. Words fail him, and the irony does not escape him. A scholar who cannot put such simple feelings into words, but something fierce flares up in Shen Zhou. What he feels is anything but simple. Words, flippant and clumsy and useless as they are, could never describe the depth and complexity of Shen Zhou's heart. I understand, Shen Yuan says, after letting Shen Zhou's silence sit for a minute. Shen Zhou's eyes widen, but he doesn't sense any sort of falsity to Shen Yuan's words, and the eyes boring deeply into his own feel all too knowing. A weight lifts from his chest, and his shoulders sag. I admit, Shen Yuan begins, voice painfully soft, that I had some misconceptions about you at first, some misunderstandings, but now that I know you, I... His voice cuts off abruptly. his eyes shut for a short second, and when they reopen, they're steeled with determination that sends Shenzhou's heart racing. Even if every single person in this world turns against you, he says, softness replaced with sobering seriousness, I would still walk the path at your side. Chills shiver down Shenzhou's spine as the severity of the words hit him with dizzying force. The look in his eyes as he says it, the implication beneath the words, the face value of the words, the hands still on his face. Shenzhou moves before he realizes what he's doing, and then there are lips against his own. Shen Yuan gasps, his eyes widening, but he doesn't pull back. No, as Shenzhou's eyes squeeze shut, Shen Yuan presses back. His hands hold Shenzhou's face firmer, keeping him in place, and he leans his whole body into him. Shenzhou reaches up and grips the front of Shen Yuan's robes like a lifeline, holding his breath as he leans right back into him. His lips, the first lips he has felt by his own will, by his own initiative, are just as soft and plush as they look. They are not chapped. They are not rough. They are softer than the pillows Madame Li and Mayan filled his room with. They move against his own lips, clumsy and lacking confidence, but Shenzhou hardly notices. The rush of what's happening makes his head spin, or maybe it's the lack of oxygen. Shenzhou doesn't know or care. What he does know, though, is that he never wants this to end. He never wants to part from this man. He never wants to be apart. He never wants to let this go, now that he knows how it feels. This thing, this feeling that he never knew he longed for, that he never knew he yearned for, he never wants to let it go, never wants to lose it, never wants to let it go. He doesn't know if he would be able to bear it. By the time they part, Shenzhou is gasping for air. It's not as embarrassing as it should be, though, when Shen Yuan does the same. His face is flushed cherry red, the colour painting from his cheeks to his ears, and Shenzhou barely has half a mind to wonder if he looks the same. I'll go. The words snap Shenzhou back to reality, and alarms blare in his mind, until Shen Yuan takes a deep breath and finishes his sentence. I'll go with you, he says, still a bit breathless. And for what must be the first time, Shenzhou's heart sings, soars. He stares, wide-eyed and still panting softly, with parted lips at Shen Yuan. Madame Li, we can tell them in the morning, and... He pauses to swallow. And you can take me back with you to your sect, and if anyone tries to give you trouble about it, I'll fight them. It's just crazy enough of a statement to startle a laugh out of Shenzhou. It's sharp and rough, but it's a real laugh, and Shen Yuan looks dazed for a moment before it seems to finally click he's being laughed at, and his cheeks puff up. I will! I'll fight them! He insists, squishing Shenzhou's cheeks. It's so endearing of a thought, Shen Yuan fighting his troublesome Shidi and Shishong for him. He can't be blamed for the faint upturn of his lips, for the fondness in his eyes as he lets his body sway. He drops his forehead. Oh, frick. Oh my gosh, I like jump scared myself. Oh my gosh, I thought there was something in my room. Anyway, sorry. He drops his forehead to Shen Yuan's shoulder. Yes, yes, he placates, blaming the softness of his voice on the post-kiss bliss he's still floating in. Yuan Di will fight so well for his Guga. Shen Yuan splutters for a moment, before huffing loud and exaggeratedly. He doesn't argue, though, and they fall into a comfortable silence. Sitting half in each other's laps, bodies pressed closer than Shenzhou ever thought he'd let another man be to his. Shenzhou's chest aches with a something he thought he'd forgotten how to feel. And in that moment, the cover of the night still hanging over the brothel, Shenzhou remembers what it's like to feel alive. With morning, chaos will come in tidal waves. He does not think about it. He instead thinks about the man in his arms, cradling him like he's something special, something that can be loved, and relishes in the moment while he can. With morning, chaos will come like a stampede of beasts and try with all its might to trample his bliss. That is in the morning, though, and it is night now. So, for now, Shenzhou will rest. For now, he will let himself sink into the calm before the storm. And, in the morning, may Shui Ya stay sheathed, may the skies not bleed red, and may Shen Yuan not bear witness to the ugly of Shenzhou's darkened soul. Yes, in the morning, may his fate be changed. The end. Author's notes. Thank you so much for reading. I hope you enjoyed.
Reader's notes. Oh my gosh, that was so cute.
Oh, and they live happily ever after. And they all become cultivators. I was a bit like, I'm not very good at judging distance, because I was like, oh, maybe we will get like an open ending. Like, will they get together? Will they work? You know, will they not? But I'm so glad we got the catharsis. We got the kissing. We got the kissing. Anyway, yeah, I think this is such a cute trope, or it's like a really nice premise to have Shenzhou's like relationship with the brothel ladies, and kind of, you know, how he, you know, how his trauma is affecting him. And because I really like that side of, well, obviously don't like him, but you know, the 3D-ness of his character. And it's really interesting to explore that with Shen Yuan being his lover, his saving grace. Well, you know, he doesn't save him, he saves himself. Okay, he saves himself. And Shen Yuan is just there looking pretty. I really like this. And this was for my MXDXtober day number 8. No. 7 is day number 7, eyes. And I also feel like this does kind of fit the eyes prompt, because it's very, they stare into each other's eyes, you know, eyes are the window of the soul. Oh, summon. I'm putting strings together. What's the word? I can't remember. I'm so bad at remembering phrases. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed, please, please, please go back to the original fic and give the author kudos/comments. And yeah, thank you so much to Airplane Landing for giving me permission to record this fic. And maybe I might be recording a few more for MXTXtober. I'm not sure. I'll see if any of their fics fit the prompts. But I really like this and like the writing. And I like the Zhou Yuan. Anyway, but I will see you all next time tomorrow for the next prompt.